Welcome to the Cognizant Leadership and Innovation Podcast, a podcast for leaders and by leaders, where they share their secret sauce to success with technology, culture, and people. So hold on, because another great episode starts right now. Welcome to the Cognizant Leadership and Innovation Podcast. I am Thomas Anglero, Cognizant's Nordic Innovation Man, CTO and Innovation Officer. And listen, welcome everybody. Thank you so much for coming back to the podcast. I have another phenomenal guest here today. And, you know, we've been talking before we hit the record button, and you could enjoy this a lot, especially because he was in New York last week and he rubbed it in my face, and I'm really upset with him. Right, Mons?
Yes, for sure.
I was about to say, I'm not talking to you then. What's the point of podcast? But that's a whole other thing, okay?
Yep.
Mons, listen, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce you to, welcome to the podcast, Mons Johnson. Did I get that right, Mons?
Absolutely correct.
Beautiful. Yep. He's the senior regional VP for Alliance and Channels in Northern Europe for the mega powerhouse of all companies, Salesforce. Mons, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much. And that is probably one of the longest titles in the world, right? So I'm not sure, but yeah, you're absolutely correct, Thomas. So all good.
I want to see your LinkedIn page. It's like two pages long, you know?
Something like that. And people have made fun of it. I can tell you that for sure. But here we are.
Yeah, you're not popular when you go to a bar and you give somebody your business card. Their heads are going left and right. Or whatever. Let's leave that alone. Listen, Mons, we have a lot to talk about. And a lot of people want to hear what your background and everything. So why don't you briefly just introduce yourself to everybody, and then we'll take it from there.
Cool. Absolutely. Happy to. So yeah, my name is, I'm Swedish, right? So my name is Mons, which is a Swedish way of pronouncing this. And I was born way up north in Northern Europe, in Northern Sweden many, many years ago. And my parents simply didn't think that I were about to work for an American IT company. So they gave me a very Swedish name, Mons. yeah. And I live with that name, but then joining Salesforce 10 years ago, then I ended up with Mons. So here I am. And that day I will leave Salesforce, I will tell them that my real name is Mons. But that's another story, right?
Just from an American side, Mons is a very cool name.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
It stands out, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Cool. So yeah, the story is, I'm still considering myself as a newbie in the IT industry. I've been working for 10 years now at Salesforce. But prior to that, I was working for a company here in Sweden called, nowadays called Dun & Bradstreet. And the story in terms of how this relates into the Salesforce angle, if we can put it like that, is that I became a customer of Salesforce back in 2006. So choose Salesforce as a vendor for our CRM system implementation, etc. at that time. And then, you know, Salesforce was my tool for everything I did at the company until Salesforce called me 2011 asking me to come over. And that's the way that I ended up as a Salesforce employee, if I can put it like that.
And that leads to last week.
Yeah.
Where you were in New York and I wasn't, right, Mons?
Correct. I looked for you everywhere in every single corner. I did not see you.
I was 10,000 kilometers away, freezing my butt off.
In a different time zone, yes.
Exactly, yep. Exactly. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you told me something, and it was quite interesting. You told me about the Salesforce had a big conference in the Javits, a place that I miss very much, over on the west side and 34th Street, whatever. And you told me that you guys launched a new product. What I want you to do is, and you know, this podcast, we don't pitch, but talk about the new product. And then what I really want to talk about is how that product was built, you know, talking about the cloud, because there's not enough stories out there about why building on the cloud is the only way you should be building. But first, please talk about that product that Salesforce launched, not to pitch Salesforce, but because that product is something that everybody needs to know. So please, Mons, go right ahead.
Yeah. No, but the background for this and the event that we held in New York City last week was that we now are somewhat kind of fed up with this COVID thing, right? And realize that we need to get people to meet again in a safely way, right? Because COVID is still there, as we all know. So we were due to have the company kickoff for our fiscal year 23, which started now 1st of February. And we decided to bring in 5,000 people from all around the world, Salesforce employees, to meet face-to-face at the Javits Center in New York. And that was the thing that happened last week. And obviously doing this event at this during this time and doing it in a safe way required a solution or an application who could, let's say, keep track of our daily COVID test and making sure that people could enter who were had tested negative and were okay to go there, right? So hence, we were using a product that we developed for the last couple of weeks called the Safety Cloud. And basically what it does is that we were in our hotel room. We took a COVID test in our hotel room, and we had a small device, not a Salesforce device for that matter, but a partner product, which we then saw that we were tested negative. And with that said, we can jump on the bus down at the street, go into the Javits Center, and then meet out with our peers from all around the world in a safe way. And we did that during the 4 days last week, which was a fantastic thing, right? And not to discuss too much of a technology thing and all that, but just meeting people was just, I realized how much I had missed that. It was just fantastic.
That device that you talked about, was that a Wi-Fi device? So like as soon as you tested it, updated the network, the platform with the information?
So that device was a small piece of plastic thing. It looked like an Apple device, but it wasn't. It's called the Q Reader or something like that. And that was connected to my iPhone. And when the result and the app guided me through in terms of how to make this test to happen. Wow. And then when the result was coming up as either positive or negative, that thing then transferred my result into the Salesforce Safety Cloud. And with that said, that thing then made me able to enter the venue and the event itself because I then tested negative.
Wow.
So it was a pretty cool thing, to be honest, in terms of how it worked out. And it was we were somewhat in our own bubble for all these days, right? So we didn't go out partying on downtown or anything like that because we needed to stay within the safety protocols. But again, this thing made us, again, during this time, right, to be able to meet people and colleagues from all around the world, which, again, was just fantastic. Yeah,
exactly. And the fact that that product was born and bred during COVID.
I'm not sure about the full development time, Thomas, in terms of how long it developed, but it's built on the Salesforce platform. And with that said, we know things go really, really quickly, right? And the fact it worked out really well, and I think, again, hopefully COVID now goes away, right? And we can start living somewhat normal again. But people will still think differently in terms of safety and if I can feel safe by going to whatever kind of event that we're talking to, right? And a product like this will certainly help people to be able to get back to whatever it's called normal, right? To attend events or fairs or whatever it is.
Yeah. And what you said a moment ago was interesting. You said it was built on a platform, so things went quickly. And you take it for a matter of fact. And that is where I disagree. Because a lot of IT people, you meet IT leaders around the world, 20, 30 years experience, and they're thinking, like I embarrassed myself before we went live. I asked you, where was this platform built, right? What part of the world, right? Because that's the old way of thinking about it.
Yeah.
I have an IT development team in Singapore. I have an IT development team in Germany. Who's going to develop it, right? There'll be an internal war, and then you have the silos fighting each other. And then what did you answer? You told me, Thomas, it was built on our cloud.
I have no idea if this was built in Sweden or in Singapore or US, what have you. No clue.
Now, but that's powerful. So there is the answer to the question that every leader has. Why should I build on the cloud? What's the difference between the cloud and my entire IT department that I have, that I've been paying them forever? Where's the benefit? There's the benefit. This product that Salesforce built, how it built it on the platform, the innovation built into it, could connect it to partners. That's why I wanted to start off with this, because that one product, the story behind it, answers the question that many listeners are listening to or have right now, leaders are asking, and that is, why is cloud important in 2022? And this was a wonderful story to kick that off. Do you agree?
I think it's a good story, but also thinking about another main topic, which is one of my big concerns right now, and I think also yours, Thomas, and also others, right, is of course the big gap out there in terms of people who know technology and could do development and all that. And I'm of course referring to, let's say, platforms with no code or low code versus platforms where you are, you know, heavy coding and all that kind of stuff, because these people are such a hard thing to find out there,
right?
So if you can build stuff like this on a low-code platform or sometimes no-code by, you know, drag and drop things, you know, I think this is a good example of how innovation can be done in a very, very quick way. And apparently it's working.
And I love it. This is great. And that what you're saying is huge, because a lot of leaders out there are going, what are they talking about? We mean low-code, no-code, right? Mm. So yes, there are platforms that you don't need to code. You don't have to know, I'll update myself, C++, right?
Yeah.
<All right>? Okay, yeah. The old good old days, right? You don't need to know how to program. What you need to do is have a group of smart people. And this was what excites me, and that the future, let's call it not even IT company, to future tech company, you're going to have anthropologists. You're going to have sociologists, right? You're going to have people from the arts. You'd have all these different type of people. And that's your future tech company, because they don't need to program. They don't need to know how to code, right? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. And I think, you know, spot on, you know, people from different backgrounds, different kind of, you know, thinking, but knowing, let's say, the business that they are in, knowing, sounds boring, but, you know, the processes and all that kind of stuff, and how then they can develop things on smart platforms where you pretty much, let's say, are, you're dragging and dropping things versus the heavy coding things. That is the future, if you ask me, because again, there's proven so many times that these things working so quickly, and it's working really, really well. And again, yes, those heavy coders out there are very hard to find, and they're becoming very, very expensive.
Exactly.
So,
And let's help it. Let's be very specific, because it's really important with the podcast to be specific, because these are going, you said a moment ago, in the future, this is the way things are going. So let's be specific for them. They're going, how far in the future? This is interesting. When do I have to do this? The answer is now. Exactly.
Yeah.
There are today no code and low code platforms. They are being matured, and new versions are coming out every week or every month.
Yep.
And then let's talk about AI, artificial intelligence. AI, to program AI, to write the algorithms, then you need a developer, data scientist to feed the data, blah, 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 blah. But same thing as low code, no code. AI today is able to write its own code and learn from itself. Very exciting. So these two worlds of human beings, no code, low code, AI that doesn't need a data scientist, and that's happening now. They're happening at the same time. Leaders out there have to realize what you should have on your leader group team or your advisor team are people who understand people and the customer and what markets you're in. Do you see that?
Absolutely. And people who are willing and able to question the thing that we used to do yesterday or the day before that is not the way it needs to happen today.
Excellent.
Right?
You're the man, Mons. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. And that leads into that big buzzword that's not a buzzword, and that's sustainability, right? A lot of leaders are asking themselves, coming out of COVID, everybody's coming out of it, and the sustainability thing is not quiet. It's actually getting bigger and bigger. I want my company to be sustainable.
Yeah.
Is just actually straight out, is sustainability an actual business model? Is this thing hype? Why is this thing not gone away? And also, we're talking about no-code, low-code, AI, blah, 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 blah. Isn't this like the merger of all things, and that this is actually that point in time that we actually can be sustainable?
I think we can in terms of the platforms. Yeah, of course, Salesforce one example, but there are also others out there, right? In terms of how you can track down your CO2 consumptions and all that kind of stuff. I think that is to some extent the easy part, right? The more tricky part is the fact that you need to change the way that you've been doing things. Again, you need to change the way you have done things. You need to question yourselves. So just because you were doing business traveling 4 days a week before COVID is maybe not the way that you should go back and do things, because that is simply not sustainable in any means anymore, right? Or have never been, for that matter.
Exactly.
So having that said, that's the thing in terms of how you change your company, how you change, let's say, your own behaviors in this matter, how you maybe are, for yourself, eating less red meat and all that, because that is not a sustainable thing, right? All those things combined. But on the other hand, we need to change. There is no other option to make that happen. We need to make that happen. And that's why I think it's so inspiring, again, to see, let's say, the younger generation who is driving this. We all know, yes, I'm from Sweden, right, in terms of Greta, how she brought this up to everyone's, let's say, awareness in terms of where we're going with this with this planet. And, hey, we need to fix it. So that's why I think it's needed. There will also, of course, coming, let's say, more and more regulations around sustainability, given that governments are realizing the code red that we're into, right, and how to make that happen. And, again, the technology will be there, to your point, again, you know, with low-code platforms, EC, Salesforce, we have our own solution called Net Zero Cloud for tracking these kind of things down, right? So nevertheless, the tools are out there. It's about making happen. It's the change, which will be the tricky part, but also maybe the fun and inspiring part, right?
And what you said before, which is really important, you're reinforcing it in a different way. You said, when I finished talking, you said, and getting the right type of people, getting people who don't say yes, and getting people who challenge your old way of doing things. That was the answer to the whole low-code, no-code. That was the answer to the AI that is self-teaching itself, how to benefit from that. And that's also the answer to how to prosper in the time, how to prosper with sustainability as a business model. We even talked about this before, but this is better than I could imagine, because having innovative people, which means people who don't accept yesterday, people who say we can be better and it's worth taking the risk to be different.
Yeah.
That is your most valuable employee.
Yes. Those are the ones you need to keep, and you need to let them question you, and you need to question them back, because that's the thing which will get them going. Just for them sitting talking to a CEO who just say yes, 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 and, you know, do what they tell them to do, that will not be challenging enough either, right? So question them back and forth, and I think you have a good relationship coming.
So coming out of COVID in 2022, you're advising CEOs to say no more people tell me yes. I want people to say no to me, challenge me, but give me input back. That's the best way forward.
Giving you input back, but also, let's say, being able to show, let's say, what could a solution for whatever kind of problem that you're trying to solve, how should that solution look like? Again, coming back to platforms, low code, no code, what have you, it's such an easy thing today to design a prototype in terms of what the thing could look like. So maybe you don't need all those fancy PowerPoints anymore, just telling you what things should look like, because you can actually show to them in real time pretty much what this thing could look like in terms of an app fixing the CO2 consumption or an app for doing anything else, right? You know, that's the fun part with IT and technology nowadays, that you can do those things pretty much, I would say, on the fly. I think that's fantastic.
You're pushing all my right buttons today.
Okay.
I'm gonna pick on some more people, because you're just going right down the right street. So you're talking about the old way of, let's show some PowerPoints, let's impress the CEO, let's show what we got. We're talking about the old consulting companies who came in, charge you God knows how much money.
Yep.
And provided a couple of hundred slides of PowerPoint. But what did they really deliver, right?
Exactly.
And then we have the young people. Oh, go ahead, Mons. You guys, speak your piece, please. It's you.
No, but I think it's, again, in terms of how you question people and how you're demanding. So let's say that you're a CEO and have a relationship with a consulting company, whatever the name is, right? Yep. I'm not telling you that you need to toss them out or anything, but you should definitely question them in terms of, okay, I had it with all these PowerPoints. I would like to see a prototype of an app who could fix, again, whatever problem that we're trying to fix. That's an easy, a valid ask to a consulting company in the year of 2022.
And you can ask for that by lunchtime.
Yeah, and have something almost available in the afternoon, right?
Exactly. There you go. Mm. Right. We talk about marketing, we talk about messaging and things like that. And we were talking about this before we started recording, how young people today, I mean, they're used to getting, if they only get 10,000 views of something they posted within the first hour, they're upset. Right.
They're disappointed, right? Because what is this? Is something wrong with this app, or what's the problem? Because I'm used to so much more. That's the way they think.
Exactly. Exactly. And then the rest of us, old people, I'll say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm part of that group as well. Yes.
when we post something on LinkedIn, you know, if we get 100 views, 1,000 views, we're like, holy cow! Right? You get 10,000 views. Oh my God! Everybody loves me.
Yeah.
And kids, not kids, I mean, whatever, the whatever generation Y, millennials, whatever, if they get less than 100,000 views, they're upset. Who should we be taking advice to? Who are the consultants we should be paying in our office? Do you understand?
I think we do. And I think that's also where the interesting conversation comes. Of course, you know, it's tempting to reply to your question in terms of saying that, yeah, we should definitely go for the young people, right? Because they're so smart and they have all technology, right? But there's also so many other aspects that we need to have in mind in terms of older people coming from different backgrounds, people coming from different line of businesses or different industries, what have you, who could also influence and, you know, make us better as leaders.
Well said.
Versus, you know, go either or. So I think maybe it's a Swedish way of doing it, trying to get that kind of a mix in terms of both the young people and the older. But I think we need to go up somewhere there, because it cannot be not only the young ones, not only the old ones, something like that.
That's a very 50-50 answer. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Sorry.
No. But, you know, it's the right answer, because it's not about getting, you know, the old people have a place, right? And then the young people have a place, right? And the marriage of the two is an amazing thing. And there are so many amazing stories out there of older CEOs who take a young 20-year-old under their wing. And what happens is the 20-year-old takes a CEO under their wing. And you see them at their canteen every day. They can't separate from each other, because they have this frequency. They're on the same frequency, but they come from two different worlds. And there's a beautiful marriage, right? Mm. So that's, that's the perfect scenario. But we have to make room, going back to what you first said, for people who challenge you.
Yeah.
People who see the world differently as you as a leader. And then that is not disrespect. They're just saying, my world today, I expect this. I see this. I can get 100,000 people to read my words.
Yes.
You have a product launch. Any corporate marketing, have a product launch. How much money are they spending? For all you people listening out there, how much money do you spend on a corporate product launch?
Yeah.
How much time does it take a 17-year-old to get 100,000 views? It takes them a few seconds, and they'll have that in about 45 minutes. Interesting world that we're in.
Yeah, but also thinking about, we're talking about people coming from different backgrounds and different, different backgrounds, kind of, right? But also we're seeing so many good examples of how we're getting people who used to be a chef or used to drive the bus or what have you, how they can, let's sign up now and start working with IT and technology in one way or another, right? There are learning platforms that they can do this kind of training at home for free. And then they can sign up, you know, becoming an admin of Salesforce or anything else, right? To start their way into a complete different career, you know, being old or young, it doesn't really matter, right? But that's how easy it is to change now. And that is also, again, the way of questioning others in a good way, but also questioning yourself. Am I doing the right thing? Should I learn something new? And, you know, it's never too late to start. So seeing so many good examples of those kind of changes, and I would just inspire more people to do those kind of changes. If they are, let's say, bored or fed up with their current job situation, go out there, because there's so much opportunity out there and you can learn something new. And guess what? There are so many companies, consulting companies, what have you, who are screaming for more people to work in this domain, right? So super exciting.
I did not know that. And again, you say something like so matter-of-factly, and the rest of us are going, what?
Okay, sorry.
So rewind.
Rewind.
And go back to your Chef Ramsay reference. I'm just saying, the chef reference. I love that. Mm. Okay, you're saying there are people who are chefs in different background who are using their free time to train themselves on the Salesforce platform, and then they start a new career. Is this what you think?
Yeah, we had a person in, I think it was in Norway not that long ago, who used to be a chef, and then he realized he needed to do something differently. And he started to train himself on the Salesforce platform using a free open learning platform that we call Trailhead on Salesforce, where you can start learning about Salesforce, but of course also other things in life which is important in your business life. All those courses can be taken for free on this platform, right? So that's the way he started, and now he's working as an admin for a Salesforce customer, I think somewhere in middle part of Norway. And there are so many other examples from Sweden and from different countries, and of course from the US. It's a big thing over there, for the thing that we call trailblazers, people who are adopting, realizing this platform is where they would like to do work because they understand it, it's working. And then completely changes from being, let's say, an ex-military or being, again, a chef or being something else, and kind of into the... And not, I wouldn't say the IT industry, because that's not the way it should be, right? Because every company nowadays is an IT company in one way or another.
Exactly.
So that's why cleaning companies are looking for people with these kind of skill sets, because they also have systems that need to maintain and develop and all stuff, right? And that goes for all companies that need to have people who know this stuff. So,
Well, you got me. I'm telling you, my brain is moving. So what you're telling me indirectly, and this is for everybody else out there, a lot of leaders are asking themselves, when I interview someone, what are the questions I ask to see if this person's got the right stuff? Mm. And what you just told us is one of the wonderful indicators is that if this person has a background, if they went to school or got a career as a chef, or they went to hotel management, it doesn't matter.
No.
But that they use their free time and they developed on a platform, Salesforce, Amazon, Google, whatever, they got the right stuff.
Yeah, but you're referring to, let's say you're saying hotel management, right? So someone who's been working within a hotel, you know, he or she has definitely some systems who are supposed to help him to do his job or her job in one way or another, right? And then they suddenly start thinking about, you know, this can be done in a different way because, you know, we've seen so many examples of people who gets, you know, totally going the wrong way because they are fed up with the systems, they're not working, they're not supporting him or her in the daily job, right? So these things can be done better. And we have tons of examples of people who started, maybe I can do this in a better way, and then start doing this kind of development, again, not with code. And then it's becoming, let's say, an application somewhat later, and of course can be sold or further developed, what have you. So super exciting.
And you brought the whole conversation right back to the beginning. No, Mons, but that's a perfect way to wrap it up. And to all you listeners out there, think about what Mons has shared. He's really given a full perspective on innovation, on people, and what type of people can make a difference in your company. How to make a difference. Why is cloud powerful? How people with no IT background whatsoever, people with a background as cooks, can change your company. And during the time of COVID, Salesforce launched this incredible platform to help everybody. Mm-hmm. That was done on the cloud. I mean, Mons, you have touched on so many things and the sustainability story, how real it is.
Sustainability is such a dear thing to my heart, right? It's a core value of myself in terms of how I, and again, many thanks to Greta, but also others in the younger generation who are seeing where this is going, right? And, exactly. And again, we need to change. So, and I'm not the best person in the world doing that, right? But just trying to, let's say, reduce a little bit in terms of the amount of meat that I'm eating. I think that's a good thing to reduce that for many reasons, right? But also maybe less flying or less other heavy CO2 consumption things, because again, we need to change. Otherwise, we are the future is not looking bright, if I can use those words. So, but I think also there are so many good examples, right, in terms of the changes we're seeing. And so many inspiring companies out there. I'm following the CEO of IKEA on LinkedIn, you know, and he's such an ambassador in terms of how they think sustainability, how they're doing stuff differently, and super, super exciting to follow him and the journey that they are on.
Yeah, I love IKEA. Listen, Mons, you know, what you said again a second ago was great. We need to change. That is the mantra for this episode.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, that's for sure.
We need to change. Ladies and gentlemen, Mons Jonsson, you have heard from the best. You now know if you need a slogan for 2022 for your company, your group, your division, your business unit, we need to change. That is it. Mons, you are the man.
Thank you very much, Thomas. It was a pleasure.
This was really good. Ladies and gentlemen, reach out to Mons. He's all over the internet. He is at Salesforce. He is the senior regional VP for Alliance Channels for Northern Europe. He has the world's longest title, and let's give him a new one.
Let's find something new because it's a very, very long title, and it's okay to make fun of it. I have no problem with that.
He needs a new business card. Let's have a raffle.
Bigger one.
No. Everybody, subscribe to the podcast. We are on Spotify. We're on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. We are everywhere. Share the podcast and support each other. Love each other. Take care of each other. I am Thomas Inglero for Cognizant. Thank you so much, Mons. Thank you, you guys out there. Thank you, everybody. Take care. Take care, Mons.
Take care now. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Cognizant Leadership and Innovation Podcast. At Cognizant, we help our clients modernize technology, reimagine processes, and transform experiences so they can stay ahead in our fast-changing world. Together, we're improving everyday life. Subscribe to the podcast on Spotify, iTunes, and everywhere.